listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up. Joining me on the DolphinsTalk.com podcast is Ross Tucker from RossTucker.com, Westwood One, CBS Sports, the Ross Tucker podcast. Ross, you're everywhere these days.
Yeah, you know, Mike, every time I go on a show, they always say that, but yet I'm still able to come on and be on this show with you. You know, the thing is, when you don't have one of those fancy ESPN or NFL Network jobs, I guess you have to cobble together a bunch of other jobs, but it's fun. I'm 41. I still don't feel like I've ever had a real job, which is actually pretty sweet. And I don't really discriminate, Mike. If someone says they're going to pay me money to talk about football, I just say yes. That's my rule. And anytime I'm about to complain about it in any way, I think, dude, your eighth grade self would kick your butt right now. You need to stop complaining. Yeah, it's like, oh, I have to drive here. I have to get on this plane. Yeah, right, dude. You're going to a football game. Stop crying. So, I mean, even just this week, I've got a new YouTube page, youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL. And on Monday's show, I had Booger McFarland talking about the Cam news from his perspective. Tuesday, I had Andrew Brandt, you know, the former Packers executive. Oh, so it's fun, man. I mean, kind of like you, I'm in my detached garage at my house,
Looking
at a camera and talking football. It could be a lot worse, Mike.
It could be, and let's hope that we do see football this year. Let's start there. NCAA football and NFL football, I think they're two very – it's not the same. I think in the NFL, they have their challenges. I think in college, that's a whole different set of challenges. Will we see football this fall, you think, in the NCAA and in the NFL?
I think you laid it out pretty good. I am far from an expert, and I think what happens over the next month will really be sort of the tail of the tape, right?
End of July. We have to know by the end of July, I think.
Right. So if things continue to get worse and worse, then I am skeptical that they will open up college training camps. If things continue to get worse and worse, even NFL training camps, I think, could be in jeopardy. You know, I don't really think, though, personally, that the training camp part of it is the scary part.
It's the week.
Because whether it's college or the NFL, when they come back, they're all going to be tested and they're all going to be together, right? They're all going to be sort of isolated. The biggest concern, talking with coaches that I've talked to, is actually college players. Once the normal students come back, because in the NFL, you know, it's their job and they can try to be very clear with those guys and give them some restrictions. You know, they're not going to try the bubble, but make sure those guys are taking the precautions going back home afterwards. I think that's a lot easier said than done for 18 to 22 year olds on a college campus.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's jump into some Miami Dolphins talk here. The big news of the offseason, obviously, was the selection at number 5 in the draft of Tua Tagovailoa. The fan base in Miami is absolutely crazy over this kid. He has a number 1 and number 2 because, you know, you got the home and road jerseys, selling jerseys in the NFL. The fan base, I haven't seen the fan base this energized over a player in a long, long time. What are your thoughts on him overall as a player? And, you know, back in April with the draft, obviously there was a lot of talk. Are they going to select Justin Herbert or Tua? What would you have done at that time?
Well, I absolutely would have taken Tua Tagovailoa over Justin Herbert without any hesitation in my mind. They both come with risk, but I feel like Tagovailoa's risk is more injury risk.
Yes.
Whereas Herbert is performance risk. Like, you don't even know how good he is or how good he's going to be. And I guess you could say that about Tua as well. But when you watch Tua play, you just feel so good about, you know, what he was able to accomplish at Alabama, his skill set, his uncommon accuracy and timing. And so I'd rather take the injury risk than the performance risk. So I would have taken Tua over Justin Herbert for sure. Now, I will say this, Mike, you know I'm a big fan of a lot of the things they're doing with the Dolphins right now. I had no problem with the strategy a year ago. I guess the problem I had with the strategy was them signing my boy Fitzpatrick, because he kind of blew up the strategy. He was the wrong quarterback to get if you were going to tank, because it would have been nice if they could have just drafted Joe Burrow, who doesn't really have any of those risk factors in place. But I love Fitzpatrick. Love Brian Flores. He was a scout when I was with the Patriots. And I'm a big fan of Tua's. You know, I called the Army Bowl when he was a senior. And, you know, he just has this kind of magnetic, charismatic personality. Walked in with a big smile. Great young man. But I'd be lying, Mike, if I didn't say I'm not very concerned about his ability to stay healthy in the NFL.
Yeah, that's,
I mean,
that's going to be the big question. And from all the reports, there was another report in the Miami Herald last week, because now he's been at the facility. I guess he got a waiver of some sort for the past, you know, 8 or 9 days, I guess, working out with the team, with the people at the team doctors and stuff like that. And they're all saying, I mean, every report since the draft is he's healthy. But once again, being healthy in May, June don't really matter much. It's can you stay healthy over the course of 16 weeks, 17 weeks, and more, hopefully, with the playoffs. That's going to be the telltale sign. Can he do that consistently when, you know, he has to go through a full season?
Right. And so the way I describe it, Mike, is I've got a betting podcast, right? It's called the Even Money Podcast. And what do you think the Vegas odds are that a guy with Tua's injury history in college, the two ankle surgeries, the hip surgery, the other injuries he's had, in 2 years of college football, what are the odds that he can stay healthy for every game or most games for the first 4 or 5 years of his career? And I would just argue, not very good. I mean, it's just not very good. Now, maybe you could say, hey, how many quarterbacks stay healthy that whole time? Well, maybe that's true, but a lot of the best ones do. A lot of these guys line up pretty much every Sunday. And with Tua, it just seems like the chances of that happening, of him being able to stay healthy throughout his rookie contract the next 4 or 5 years, it just seems like a very big long shot. It seems minimal at best.
Something else here to consider, too, is the NFL is moving to a 17-game regular season, so it's one extra week. You're going to need him for number one. And it really does come down to, can he stay healthy for, you know, say 14 or 15 weeks? You'll probably be okay with that. You can live with that. If he's only out there for 8 weeks, now you got an issue. Now you got an issue. But, you know, with the NFL going to a 17-game season, that's one extra week. And, you know, so, there, look, I forgot who I hit on. It might have been Mike Tannenbaum right before the draft, and he said something to the effect of, you know, some guys are, you know, they get hurt a lot when they're younger, and then all of a sudden, boom, they never get hurt again once they're in the NFL. And then there's some guys who are never hurt in college. Then once they get to the NFL, they're always hurt. There's a little bit of luck involved in this, too, that you just sort – that you can't put your finger on. So we'll see, but that is the question with him, because everything else when it comes to his traits is spot on. This kid's got it trait-wise with the footwork, vision of the field, all that. I mean, he is off the charts.
Yeah, he is a gifted, gifted kid. And I mean, I think everybody is in agreement. We all just hope he stays healthy, because I'm excited to see what he could do. I think he's a special player. And I think the Dolphins could surprise some people even this year if he stays healthy and is able to play as well as I think he could.
Yep. And you look at what they did this offseason, you know, that roster last year was not good. But they brought in a lot of guys. They spent a lot of money on Byron Jones to pair him with Xavien Howard. That's an outstanding cornerback tandem. They brought in guys like Shaq Lawson, Emmanuel Agba, Ted Karras, Eric Flowers, Kyle Van Noy, who I think's a great player. What did you think about some of the other moves Miami made this offseason?
Well, as soon as they were making all those moves, my initial reaction was they're taking a quarterback in the first round.
Yes.
Because it seemed like they're trying to benefit from and capitalize on having a quarterback on his rookie contract, right? I mean, I think they feel like, you know, maybe they're not going to be gangbusters this year, but they have a window now with Tua the next 4 years where they have an opportunity to really be competitive, really make noise in the AFC East and beyond. And so they wanted to add some veterans to all the draft picks they had. I mean, you think about the influx of new players, Austin Jackson, Solomon Kinley, Robert Hunt. I mean, to get those three linemen in the first four rounds,
Raekwon
to
Davis,
go along with Eric Flowers, I mean, they've got so much more talent, so much more depth than they had. I even like Curtis Weaver in the fifth round. You mentioned Van Noy, who was a heck of a playmaker in New England. Flores knows how to use him. They have a significantly better roster than they had a year ago, and they won five games. So there's no reason why they couldn't win 7, 8, 9 games this year. I think a lot of it will be dependent on what happens at quarterback. And look, you're not paying me, period, but you're certainly not paying me, Mike, to come on here and say quarterback's an important position, which will help determine whether or not how many games they win.
Yeah, absolutely. Last question here, because I know you're super, super busy these days. Looking around the AFC East, obviously everyone's really high on the Bills these days, as they should be, a team you used to play for. They look to be a team on the rise. Cam Newton's now in New England. You know, I know it made a lot of headlines, but this isn't Cam Newton of 2013. This is Cam Newton in 2020, who's 0-8 in his last 8 starts. In those last 8 starts, 9 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. What did you think about the Patriots signing Newton here as we wrap up?
Thought it was a great move because as of when you and I are talking, all we know about right now is that the contract is, quote, up to $7.5 million, which means it's my guess that it's actually a heck of a lot less than that.
Yep.
And so in my mind, there's a huge potential reward for the Patriots, but really no risk, right? So it's absolutely the right decision to make. But that's far from saying that he's going to be able to go out there and play at a really high level. What I find interesting is how much do they alter their offense early in training camp?
And
how many things that they put in that are Cam specific? Because Belichick never looks at things through the prism of just a 1 year window. And so if you think about it, it's really in his best interest if Jarrett Stidham wins the job, because Stidham is sort of what we were talking about with the Dolphins a little bit. Stidham is second year. He's cheap, fourth round pick, and they'd have him under contract for the next 3 years, unlike Cam, who's just a 1 year deal. So I think if it's close, they're going to give Stidham the job. Now, if Cam's totally healthy and can run around and do his thing, I don't think it'll be close. But if it is close, I think Stidham wins the job. I don't think it's a lock that Cam's the starter. Andrew Brandt even said that on the Ross Tucker podcast. The money kind of indicates that. If he is the starter, it makes the Patriots a threat and intriguing once again, because they will have a good defense again. And then you combine that with Cam's ability to run. And that's really the key. I thought Booger made a good point on Monday's show when he said he really wouldn't even want Cam unless Cam can run like he used to be able to, which I thought made a lot of sense. So we'll see, because everybody's saying he's healthy now and he's fine now. Well, we'll see, because he had a shoulder surgery. He had a foot surgery. He's a big time runner of the football in addition to his downfield throwing. And that's a big part of his game. So if he doesn't have that and is not able to utilize that weapon, I don't think he's nearly as effective.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you there 100%. Ross, thanks so much for a few moments of your time today. Everyone, be sure to follow Ross Tucker on Twitter at Ross Tucker NFL. Go to rostucker.com. Check out all of his podcasts. And in the fall, if we do have football, you'll hear him on Westwood One, CBS Sports, and everywhere else in between. Ross, thanks so much, and have a good one.
My pleasure, Mike. Anytime. Love DolphinsTalk.com. Love the site. Love your Twitter. And always love talking about the Fins. Terrific, terrific national fan base. You guys are awesome. Thanks so much for having me.
We're on the way back, Ross. It's been a long haul.
You are on the climb. The Dolphins are climbing, baby.
That's right. Can't wait.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.